Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I've got a really great guest in store for you. I'm super excited. I've got Pete Makaitis with me, and Pete is an award-winning trainer and coach who helps professionals perform optimally at work. His work has been featured in the New York Times, Forbes, and Inc. Pete has delivered one-on-one coaching to over 700 leaders hailing from world-class organizations such as Google, FedEx, Amazon, Apple, Anheuser-Busch, and the United Nations, 50 countries, and every Ivy League university. He began his career at Bain & Company and currently holds the How to Be Awesome at Your Job podcast. The show has been downloaded over 8 million times and consistently ranks as the top business show in Apple Podcasts. It is my great pleasure to welcome Pete to our show today.
Oh, thanks, Belinda. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited. I had the awesome pleasure of meeting you at the Podcast Movement, and you were just one of the really great friends I took away from that. So I'm glad that we're able to connect and do this.
Oh, thanks. Yes, me too. It's a great event. It's a highlight of my year each year.
Yeah, absolutely. It was my first time going, so I walked away with a lot of really great, great information. So let's jump in and let our guests get to know you a little bit better. Let's fill in some of the gaps from your bio and just tell us a little bit more about your journey, like how you got where you are today.
Oh, sure thing. Well, I think that the journey begins maybe when I was a teenager, and or even beforehand. My dad used to, every time I asked, take me to the library, which is, I think, a natural parenting reflex. Oh, child wants to learn. Let's encourage that. And so that was my trick to get out of the house. And so I would ask to go to the library, and I sort of got into this interesting groove where I would read a bunch of books on a topic. Maybe it was about photography or chess or whatever. And then I noticed that, sure enough, I got better at doing the thing that I was reading about, taking better pictures, playing better chess, beating my dad without him letting me win. And I thought, this is really cool stuff. Books make you better. Knowledge improves you. And so I then discovered books about success, goal setting, leadership, teamwork, communication. And I thought, whoa, these books make me better at living life. So I got really into those and started getting their audio cassette tapes from the library. And I didn't have a cassette tape player in my car as a teenager. I had an old 1989 Chevrolet Celebrity, and I would seatbelt strap in a boombox with D batteries to play the audio cassette tapes on these topics. And I just got hooked. And so I think that's where it began. And then as I read those about the author tidbits on these books, I thought, that just sounds like a really cool job that these people have. They get to speak and write and coach and consult and work with folks so that they can improve performance. That's what I would like to do. And so that's where the journey begins.
Oh, that's exciting. I love that, because I do think we really learn so much from when we're young, and we carry that into the things that we do today, whether people really identify it or recognize it. And I see it all the time on the show. But I love it because I think having that love of learning, and I always say to people, you just always need to stay a student, because if you're always learning, you're always growing. And I just think that's awesome that you discovered that at such a young age and then have been able to take that into what you do today. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, it really did feel like a blessing. It was so funny. I just remember my mom worked at the credit union that served teachers in the community. And so I remember one time I was just sort of hanging out at her workplace, and all my teachers were cashing their checks back in the day. Remember checks?
Yes.
So I was doing direct deposit everywhere. And so they would all just sort of walk by me, and I was reading Speak and Grow Rich, which Brian Tracy, I emailed him when I was a teenager. He emailed back and said, you should check out this book. I said, okay, thank you, Brian. And so it was sort of funny. I wonder what they were thinking, like, look at this kid.
Probably. probably. It's so funny because the first programs that I ever had when I recorded my first programs were on cassette tapes. So it's just funny. And I just recently got out a big, huge boombox myself because I was looking to play some things back and that was the only thing I could find. And so I did the same exact thing, not just even a month ago. Isn't that funny?
That is good, certainly. And there's some nostalgia associated with that. I found a way to play Nintendo games on my computer, and I find that has been soothing when you step into some retro mode for a moment.
That's right. So tell us a little bit about your business today, and then how has this shaped your lifestyle?
Oh, sure thing. Well, so my main business is people development stuff. So that could be training, it could be coaching, it could be the How to Be Awesome at Your Job podcast. And it's in the realm of sharpening, particularly thinking and communication skills for professionals. So it's been just a real blast, and it's really evolved with my lifestyle. So right now I've got two kids under two at home. And so it's a delight to be with them. And so I've chosen to do less traveling. But in sort of the earlier years of my business, I was doing a lot of speaking on the road and having a lot of fun with that and that adventure. And now I'm choosing to do more of my programs online and coaching online and the podcast, reaching folks that way. So it's been really cool. We bought this house, and in the enclosed porch in the rear, I took some time to find a really big sound blocking door and a sound blocking window pane. And so I hear very little of the chaos that's in my home when I'm in work mode. But then I can step out for, you know, a 5, 10, 15 minute break and play with the kids, and then return rejuvenated to do more work in the happy place that is the home office.
That's so great. I've been privileged to be able to do that pretty much my whole career as well. And it's good to have that space that you can work in and get in the zone in. But then, like you said, just step into the other arena and spend that time with the kids, which they absolutely love, or be a part of something fun that's going on, and then get back into the work zone. So that is that's really awesome. And having two under the age of two, that's busy, busy, busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And my wife, she is a saint, and she has done the vast majority of the sacrificing of sleep to attend to them, because I am just, my brain, I don't do the things that I need to do to deliver value to my business when my brain is exhausted from sleep deprivation. It's like, I don't get good ideas. I don't execute. I don't come up with good titles or listen well, you know, so I'm so thankful for her.
Yes, for sure. So let's talk about skill sets, because I think these are really important, and it's always fun to me to hear what different people have as their strengths. But what do you think that two of your greatest skill sets are that have really helped contribute to your overall success?
Oh, sure thing. Well, you know, I'd say that I had a really cool podcast interview talking about spikes, and he defined a spike as not something like, I'm good at communication, but something like super specific that is unique to you that you might do better than 99%+ of the population. And so one thing that I think seems to occur to me, and maybe not as much to others, I might call it ideation in StrengthsFinder language, mm-hmm. or just sort of identifying the implications of noticing a little something. So for example, I noticed that there are some newspapers published in the Philippines that, and as I, so that's not sort of a shocker, there are newspapers in every country. But when I had just Googled something and an article popped up and I read it, and I thought, okay, this is the Manila Times or whatever. And as I'm reading it, it's in English. And I thought, huh, this is very solid English. And I've done some work with folks in the Philippines, which I love to do, have some remote workers there where the dollar goes way farther in terms of providing a living wage and lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten some great help on my podcast and other things from people in the Philippines. But then I noticed, wait a minute, if the writing here is great, then maybe that we can really move beyond sort of like, you know, website updating or data entry, a lot of sort of rote, repetitive tasks are what people tend to outsource. I thought, well, maybe it's quite possible to find, you know, top journalists and writers in the Philippines and then enjoy the cost effectiveness and provide an opportunity that way for real writing projects. And so that'd be something like, I think that most people, you know, they catch an article from the Manila Times, like, okay, well, good article. That's got what I needed. Whereas I tend to notice these things and then get really excited about the implications they have. Mm-hmm. And then I just go ahead and, you know, ask for 100 people in the Philippines to give me their writing portfolio and then test and find some real rock stars who've been just invaluable members of my team and enabled me to operate at a sustainable cost.
I love that. And that is one I can tell you that a lot of people when we interview on the show, they don't say that as one of their greatest strengths. But I kind of have that as one of my strengths, too, is being able to see an opportunity out of something else or take that and how would that apply to my business? And then suddenly coming up with a really great idea that is out of the box because you took it from something else and sort of morphed it into what you needed it to be. And a lot of people are just very black and white and just see things for what they are.
Certainly. And I think one of the first ways that I became aware of this as a unique strength for me was it was a pretty ridiculous example. But I heard an interview somewhere where someone said that an hour of belly laughter was worth 4 hours of sleep. Or maybe it was like 15 minutes in 1 hour. It was like a 4-to-1 ratio.
Right.
And I thought, oh, my gosh. Well, so I thought, well, if that's true, I'm in college at the time. I was like, if that's true, then I could hire someone in the middle of the night to tickle me for 2 hours. And then I would laugh outrageously for those 2 hours and thus replace 8 hours of sleep. I could spend a couple hours working to generate income to pay for those 2 hours of tickling. And then I would come away with 4 net new hours of productivity. And so as I explained this to my roommate, he just started laughing and said, that is the way your brain works. And it's not normal. And if you were wondering, the context of that quote, I later learned was very different. It was about for someone sort of managing, you know, strong pain, like in a hospital context.
Yep.
So it does not apply
to everybody,
just, you know, as a sleep replacement, but it can help you sleep well if you're struggling with pain. So now we know. I did not go down the tickling experiment.
I was just going to ask that. So that's good. So, Pete, share with us one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that you're really proud of.
Well, I think from a professional perspective, I was really thrilled to get my first job out of college in strategy consulting, and the company's called Bain & Company. And that's something I looked at from afar for a long time, and I just thought that would be just the coolest job to get to use some of these skills associated with communication and getting these ideas and implementing them and getting strategic. So that was important to me, and it took a lot of work practicing what's called case interviews, and generally fewer than 1% of applicants end up getting the job. So that was a huge day when I got the yes, here's your offer. And that was meaningful. And then entrepreneurially, I've been really excited about the growth of the podcast. It's really taken off. We've gotten just over 500 episodes, and we're approaching our 10 millionth download in a couple months here. And so I'm just thrilled at how I've been able to share such great wisdom from great people to enrich a whole lot of listeners. And I get just very touching messages from them again and again. And it's just been a real delight.
That's awesome. And congratulations on that. You know, I've just been going along. I've been doing the podcast for about 2 years now, and I feel like we've done all right with it. But it wasn't until I was there and I met you and I met some of the other people and I really learned about some of the statistics. But you're doing a really good job. You're like in the top 5% of all podcasters. And that was a big takeaway for me there. But that's congratulations to you, because that's really an accomplishment.
Oh, thank you. And I'm just so grateful. I think that part of it, it's there's some luck for sure. And then I think the other part of it was just failing so many times. I started this. I remember I thought this would be really cool. I'm very excited to do this, but I'm not going to build something that nobody wants. I've done that again and again, and I'm not doing it this time. So I went through quite a process of doing a lot of surveys and interviews with prospective listeners and taking a look around at the alternative podcasts out there to make sure that, yes, indeed, there are people who want to listen to this stuff, and I would have something that is different and somewhat unique in the landscape to offer. So, okay, having validated that, I'm going to pursue it and not let just my sheer enthusiasm be the only determinant for whether I do something.
That's great. And I think a lot of people do that. And when you do that sheer enthusiasm, when it doesn't work, that goes away pretty quickly. But when you've got some real good statistics or something backing that, or you know that people value a certain thing and you've taken the time to do that research, it allows you to stay in the moment and to press on. I think that allows people to forge ahead and be good at what they need to be good at, get that practice that they need, which you talked about earlier. But when you're just enthusiastic and then it doesn't work out, that enthusiasm can fade pretty darn quick.
Oh, certainly. And I think enthusiasm is important because it gives you energy and helps you sort of stick with things. But I think ultimately, you know, some passions get you paid and some don't. And I think it's important to know what you're dealing with. Like if I enjoy dancing or playing the saxophone, that's cool. I can do that and enjoy that. But I don't expect that to provide my livelihood, and that's okay. And maybe if you do want to make your livelihood through music or dance, well then that's sort of a different pathway and series of considerations to undertake.
Absolutely. So how long have you been doing your podcast? Just to put it into some reference now, 10 million downloads and 500 podcast episodes. How long have you been doing it?
It's about 3.5 years now.
Okay. Wow. So how often is your podcast live? Like, how can our listeners, when will they find that? And how often is it, does the podcast land?
Yeah, it's 3 times a week right now. And that might go down as more and more people recommend guests. And it's like, we already had them. So it's like, oh, well, maybe we should slow it down a bit and see if there's opportunity to maybe find even better matching guests for listener needs. But right now, yeah, it's been about 3 a week for this 3.5 years.
Oh, great. All right. Let's talk about then sort of the polar opposite of that and tell us about an obstacle or challenge and then how you work through that. And I'd love a good story.
Oh, sure thing. You know, when I was getting started, I didn't have any revenue. and that persisted for a number of months. And it was challenging, just like sort of emotionally. It's like my savings are being depleted. I think I was a smart guy, but I don't feel really smart right now with regard to the results that I'm coming up with. And so I managed that in a couple ways. Emotionally, I managed my concern about dwindling money with a spreadsheet in terms of, okay, this is how much we got in savings. This is how much money is flowing out each day. So I calculated it on a daily basis, turning each sort of monthly payment divided by 30 into dollars per day. And then added all that up and see, okay, in a few dollars just for fun, what's my rate of burn and how much time do I have before I'm out of money? And so I took great comfort in referencing that spreadsheet. So it'd be like, okay, Pete, even if you have zero revenue for 400 days, you're not going to be out of money. And I was single, you know, no family. That made it easier at the time. And so I found comfort there. It's like, all right, we have a little bit of time to figure this out. And I kept reassuring myself that if you burn all your savings, That doesn't mean you're dead in the gutter. It just means I've got to get another job. I need to sort of return to the world as an employee, which would be okay. Not as much fun or not my preference, but the stakes are not as direly terrifying as it might feel like when I saw the number going down. And then to address the issue of no revenue, I think the fastest way I got there was I figured out how to make a couple of partnerships in terms of, I remember there was one website which offered resources about case interviewing for people who want to pursue management consulting careers. And I noticed he said that he didn't do coaching. So he's got a number of resources, but he says, I don't do coaching. I thought, well, I can do some coaching. And so I sent an email and said, hey, you know, I noticed you don't do coaching. You know, I could do coaching. I see that you've asked people to make a donation to this charity that's important to you. If they find your resources useful, well, how about if you send me some people who need coaching, I will make a donation to this organization for each coaching session that I do. And so that it could be win-win in those ways. And so he said, sounds good. And so he sent me some people my way. He's like, okay, we got some revenue. And then with the speaking, I was doing some gigs here and there, but then I discovered there is this agency called Campus Speak for colleges. And so I thought, well, that might be just right, because I had a book about leadership in student organizations. And I was speaking here and there, maybe some junior highs, maybe some high schools. I was just excited about speaking. There's that enthusiasm. And it seemed like, oh, colleges have more budgets for programs. And some of the things I'm talking about with regard to leadership may be better suited to leaders of college student organizations. And so I made it my mission to have this agency represent me. And so I studied in great depth, like, okay, what's their application process? How does that work? And then in forming my speaker video, it was fun. Each gig that I did, I kind of decided that 1 minute of the gig was going to be for the camera. And so I really practiced that minute a lot and sort of gave a little bit of eye contact right to the camera during that minute. So that when I spliced them all together in like a 10-minute speaker reel, it looked like a pretty great reel, even though I didn't have tons and tons of paid speaking experience. I had a reel that looked darn good. And so then they let me in, and that was awesome. They just sort of gigs appeared because I was meeting a need that really connected with their audience.
That is great. And I think that's a good lesson of life in anything that you're going to do is find the need. You know, you found the need with both of those people. And there's always a need out there that you can take whatever it is that you do and figure out how to fill. And it's a good way to sort of reverse engineer where you want to go. And that's awesome. It's a great story.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And it was such a relief in terms of, oh, okay, looks like I'm not going to have to become an employee. That's good news.
Absolutely. But you know what? I like to go into things, especially if I'm going to take a pretty big risk or if I'm doing something really outside of the box. And that's sort of always been my sort of way of figuring things out is like, well, what's the worst case scenario? And then I take it all the way back down, like, well, I'd have to go get a job or I would have to do this. And I always feel like if you can live with that, then you might as well give it a try, you know, go for it. Because if you really believe in it and you've done your research and, you know, for me, it's always worked out. I haven't had to do that. But it gives me peace of mind and knowing, well, can I live with the worst case scenario? And it helps me just to forge ahead pretty enthusiastically.
Absolutely. And I don't want to knock employment by any means. You know, I think that in many ways, there's some cool things that you can only do if you're a part of a big organization, right? and challenges that you would love to solve. Like if I were really into designing aircrafts, you know, that's sort of hard to do on your own.
All right, Pete. Well, this is kind of our signature question of the show, and it will be fun to listen to what you have to say. But what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Yeah, well, I think fundamentally it means that I get to wake up and pursue work that I find, you know, interesting, valuable, worthwhile. Like I am genuinely excited most mornings when I wake up to get to work and start doing the stuff. And so I think that's largely what that means, as well as being able to do it kind of at the pace that suits me. And in terms of, I am not in my happy place when there's just a little too much of the rushing from thing to thing to thing to the next, and there's urgency and there's too much and I got to move on and I'm behind and no, I'm not quite delivering all these commitments that I've overbooked myself on. And so I'd say to the extent that I have the ability to say no, to reschedule, to get things working such that there's just sort of the right amount of work. And I've had 80-hour work weeks, and I have had 20-hour work weeks, and I prefer to work somewhere between 32 to 38 hours a week. And that's kind of my happy place in terms of the volume. But occasionally I might get really engrossed in something and not even notice that maybe it's a 50-hour work week, but it's all good because I just happen to be having fun and getting pulled along into the flow of it, as opposed to, oh, shucks, I got to hunker down and churn out more output now.
Absolutely. Great. Well, what advice would you give to others who are saying, I'd love to be an entrepreneur, I'd love to own my own business, that's where I'd like to go?
You know, I think that something I should have done and should have known better working at a strategy consulting firm before I left is that I think we talked about sheer enthusiasm isn't going to do the trick alone, and some passions get you paid and some don't. So I think that the fundamentals here are that you need to have a profitable offering that serves enough customers better than their alternatives to really have something in terms of economically working for you. So if you're in a spot where you really need that revenue to survive, I really recommend that you sort of figure out, you know, what is that offering and get some validation in terms of those surveys and interviews and ideally real sales from real customers before quitting your day job. And I think if you find yourself, I think the best place to be when you leave your day job is, oh my gosh, I got this great thing going on the side here, and I'm having a hard time finding the time to do the things I know are going to result in a whole lot more business or profit. And so there it is. It's like you're in a great spot where it's like, in fact, this would be economically optimal for me to trade the day job for more hours invested in this business, which I have great reason to believe will result in good profit.
Good. That's really good advice. So here's what I'd like to know is, I want you, because I want to make sure that our listener knows exactly what kind of services that you might provide. So if you want to give us an idea of exactly what a day in the life would look like for with one of your clients and some of the really great added value that you bring or some new and exciting things that you're working on, I'd love you to have that opportunity to be able to share that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'd say that there's plenty of opportunity to learn a lot of good stuff for free on the podcast, How to Be Awesome at Your Job. And then in terms of clients, one of my signature programs is called Enhanced Thinking and Collaboration. And so that's a 10-session program. They usually do it on alternating weeks for a team. And so if you have a team of folks who are tasked with figuring stuff out and communicating, so most professional knowledge working jobs, and a hunch that could be done better, then I think this is a really cool program. And I've been thrilled by the before and after results, with the average team seeing a reduction of about 1.4 hours of waste per person per week by implementing these best practices. So there's less rework, fewer meetings that you don't need to be at, faster means of coming up with a quick estimate answers instead of really detailed analyses when not necessary. So all of these things in terms of how you're thinking and collaborating add up to enable groups to be much more efficient and effective.
Well, that's great. And any new and exciting things you have coming up?
Well, I'm excited by lots of things. I don't know what all I'm at liberty to disclose right now.
Okay.
We talked about the Philippines. I have begun sort of billing out some of my amazing talent that I found to third parties, and they've been really pleased with the results they're seeing. Like, wow, I've tried to hire a number of overseas workers, and these people are by far the best I've ever encountered, which I find flattering. And I think it's just because I obsess over all of the testing and evaluation before I pick maybe 1 out of 100 to say, yes, come on board the team. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of fun and exciting as people enjoying those bits, and just podcast growth. I mean, 10 million, I think I got to figure out some kind of a celebration for that.
You do. So again, the name of your podcast, let's tell everybody where they can find you. So if you want to do any Facebook or any Instagram groups or your podcast again, let's just remind everybody how they can connect with you.
Well, I would recommend as a first step right there in your podcast app player, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Podbean or Spotify, you just type right in there, how to be awesome. And there it goes. Boom. How to be awesome at your job. We'll auto-populate. I think LinkedIn is the social network that I pay attention to regularly. So you can type my name in there just fine, Pete Makaitis, or email. I'd be glad to hear from you there, pete@awesomeatyourjob.com. But basically, if you go to awesomeatyourjob.com, you find it all.
Okay. Well, Pete, this has been absolutely a delight. I've enjoyed our interview so much, and I enjoy all the wonderful nuggets that you've shared with our listeners. And I just want to remind everybody that podcasts are great because they're an absolute free resource for you to become as knowledgeable about a subject that you want to be. So I'm a huge fan, and I would love it if everybody would subscribe because you won't miss a single episode. And be sure to leave us a review because we both really appreciate that. So Pete, thanks once again for being my guest today on Work From Your Happy Place. And I wish you much continued success, and I'll be anxious to see what you do with your 10 million episode celebration.
Oh, thanks, Belinda. It's been fun.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.